Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein's end came when he was hung in a chaotic execution that showed a calm-to-the-end tyrant being taunted by his revenge-crazed executioners, his body brutalized and desecrated and videotaped for the world to see. The main character in Kenan Makiya's novel The Rope ends up holding that hangman's rope, which was chopped up and sold as trophies. And through an Iraqi's eyes, the deep sickness and damage to his homeland from years of dictatorship and war was suddenly unveiled. This story of Iraq, told by Kenan Makiya, a professor of Islamic and Middle Eastern studies at Brandeis University, is a novel of people in the shadows of occupiers, warlords, green zones, and sectarian neighborhoods, defeated by their own history and an inability to escape it. Makiya was at one time a supporter of the American invasion and an advisor to the interim governing council, and he writes this fictional account drawing on his experiences from that time between 2003 and 2006.
The narrator is a young militiaman, Shiite militiaman, who very quickly after 2003 joins the Mahdi army, which is the militia that was set up by Muqtada Sadr, who is even today very prominent in the news. But back then he started a militia very much in his father's image, called the Mahdi army. The Mahdi is the Shiite messiah, and there is a significance to that name.
So you describe at one point in this book, and I think it begins to sort of set the tone for how many different points of view there are in Iraq now. There are Iraqis like us, Haider said, and in Baghdad there are foreigner Iraqis. What do you mean? I asked, intrigued. They hate Saddam differently. And then you describe just how different the foreigner Iraqis are from the people who stayed and endured Saddam and the invasion. How do you see that today?
Well, those foreigner Iraqis are quite entrenched, those of them who entered government and who, until today, play very prominent positions. And they include exiles, effectively, people who had exiled from as long as 30 years to those who had been exiled 10 years. And myself included, I would be a typical example of a foreigner Iraqi, except that I never entered government in any way, shape, or form.
And the way you describe them, of course, we in the United States were heard that they were going to be welcomed back, but they had almost no credibility.
Well, they had no credibility, and they brought it upon themselves, those of them who entered politics. And by those, primarily, I mean the 13 out of 25 in the governing council chosen by the Americans. But that having been said, this is not a novel about American failure. It's an Iraqi story of 2003. We know a lot about all the things that went wrong from the American side of things. But in some sense, I think the far more important story and the far bigger failure in historical terms is an Iraqi one. And that's what this novel is about.
The opening scene in this book is the hanging of Saddam Hussein. And the title of this book comes from the rope that was used to hang him, a rope that became something of a talisman that was valuable if you had a piece of it. And you describe that experience as being exciting, wondrous, and then ultimately horribly disillusioning.
Sordid.
How could the tyrant, as you describe him, be both a unifying principle for Iraqis and then something that the absence of which produces such chaos?
That's a really good question. Of course, I open with that scene that you just described, because it's the scene that reveals the rot that had been accumulating for a number of years before that. Remember, that hanging was caught on some imbecile's smartphone and broadcast all over the world. So we saw the sordidness of the hanging. We saw what a tawdry affair it was. Now, did it have to be that way is a question. But the tyrant's influence is still there. In the teeth of his death, he is victorious, so to speak, in Iraq. That, I think, is the moral of the book.
You know, there is a sense in which that history needs to be told. I'm curious as to why you chose a novel to tell this story. Much of it is true in the sense that there are lots of true facts and events that you rely on that you witnessed yourself. But nevertheless, this is fiction.
True. I saw this as a subjective failure, a failure of individuals, of character, of judgments. In order to understand it, you had to look into jealousies that went back decades, if not centuries, in extremely conservative, closed off to the world city like Najaf. You had to know the houses of Shiism and their historic feudings that culminated in the murder that also plays a very important role in this book. So how do you touch all of that when none of it is, so to speak, documented? I was there the whole of 2003 to 2006, and I knew these characters. And I wanted to focus on that subjective element, that failure of character, and I thought fiction would help me better do that. And I had some names to protect.
And this is what brings me to Camus. I mean, in many ways, he is a novelist innovator by telling a story from a point of view that no European had been able to create in the character, in The Plague, for instance. And here, you're doing the same. You're really giving us an Arab perspective of a dissolution that is almost, it seems like magical realism. It's so deep. Do you sense that you're taking a page from those existentialist authors of the 20th century in trying to convey this madness of Iraq?
It's not a coincidence that Camus must be my favorite writer of the post-World War II period. So you've managed to see that through the novel. The other favorite writer, of course, who's relevant here is Dostoevsky, because of the demonic power that he was able to see in ideas when they're unleashed upon societies in certain moments, crucial moments of their history. That demonic power of ideas is also something I touch upon. You know, we talk about Shiites and Sunnites today as though these are established identities that go back centuries. But what we're looking at here in Iraq are quickly cobbled together identities in the name of those ancient identities. Shiites in Iraq especially feel themselves to be eternal victims. But unlike in Iran, where Shiism came from the top down and a majority of Shiites have never not been in power, so to speak, in Iraq they have never exercised power. And their victimhood is deeply instilled in their sense of who they are. Now, here again, there was a hope, call it an illusion, some would say, of a person like myself, who's also Shiite, incidentally, who was saying one could arise above that deeply instilled sense of victimhood. And I was, of course, wrong. That is, I still think it's in principle doable, but you need very exceptional men to do it. And that we did not have.
Well, if you wish to explore from the safety of a novel those deeply uncharted waters, I highly recommend the novel The Rope. Kanan Makiya is the author of The Rope and a professor of Islamic and Middle Eastern Studies at Brandeis University. Kanan, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you very much.